Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda.
Oh, man. If you're letting your limiting beliefs hold you back, you need to meet Princeton grad Aaron Anastasi.
Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Aaron Anastasi. He's from Southern California. He's a native there, and he's graduated with a master's degree from Princeton, where he studied philosophy and psychology. He's also the founder and coach of the internationally recognized Superior Singing Method, an online singing lesson program that is extremely successful. And with nearly 10 million views and over 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, Aaron has the number one singing/life lesson channel on YouTube. He's a prominent life coach for clients in industry-leading roles ranging from film directors to marine biologists to TED Talk speakers. His book, The Voice of Your Dreams, is scheduled for release on April 12th, coming up here. So, Aaron, first, I'd like to welcome you to our show.
Yes, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
So you know that I do start the show with a passage that's meaningful, and I know you are obviously also a writer as well as a singer. Is there a lyric or some kind of quote that's meaningful to you?
Yes, absolutely. I talk a lot about limiting voices, and I have a feeling we're going to kind of jump into that. And Van Gogh has a quote that I love about these idea of these limiting voices. And he says, if you hear a voice within you say you cannot paint, then by all means paint, and that voice will be silenced. Love that.
I love it. Tell us how you connect.
Well, for me, it's one, because I talk a lot of, I wrote this book called The Voice of Your Dreams, as you mentioned. And in that, I talk a lot about how to silence your limiting voices. And one of the things that I talk about actually in the first chapter is one of the best ways to silence the limiting voices is through action, is just saying, okay, yes, maybe that's true. You know, all this negative self-talk we have, but I'm just going to spend 3 minutes or 5 minutes doing this thing. And I notice for me and my clients, it's like once we just get into action and start doing the thing, as he's saying, the voices get silenced and you just get excited and passionate about the thing you're doing. So that's one of the many great ways to silence your limiting voices.
I have to tell you that you're really speaking to me right now, because I was thinking about this today. You know, I'm planning a 50-state tour, taking my show on the road. And one of the things that I need to do is reach out to sponsors. And it's exhausting, number one. Number two, even as a writer and somebody who I feel I'm pretty articulate, and I don't know, I just feel like I need a marketing specialist. This isn't my role. I'm not good enough at this. I don't write in this style to connect with corporate in a marketing type of way. You know what I mean? And so I know the days that I did sit down and just started doing it, because the other thing is I feel I don't know where to begin. And so I get it. You're like, do 3 minutes of it and then don't even call me for dinner. You know what I mean?
That's exactly right. One of the quotes I say in my book is, the inspiration you're waiting for in order to start is on the other side of starting. So it's kind of that same idea that if we can just motivate ourselves for those first few minutes, we're good. But like you're saying, that when we wake up the next day and we have all these limiting voices and fears flooding our mind again, it's the same thing again. If we can just get into action that day again, we have to remember and redo it every day. It's not like it just sticks, like, oh, just get into action and forever it'll be fine.
That'd
be nice.
I think it depends on the task.
Yeah.
Like, I said to my husband last night, I go, listen, can you please sit down with me and help me? I said, can you please sit down with me and tell me what to do? Because, and that's not my personality, but I have a list, Aaron, that is so long right now. And I just feel at this point, those limiting beliefs are holding me back. And I have to tell you that I don't feel well today, and I really wasn't productive like I needed to be. I'm actually drinking a coffee right now, and it's 7 o'clock New Jersey time. Tonight is not going to end well. But I'm hoping this is just going to give me that push that I kind of need to get into, like you were saying. I love that. The first 3 minutes, just do it for 3 minutes. I love that so much. So limiting beliefs, how did this passion start for you?
Gosh, I mean, it was just my own limiting beliefs and how much I got stuck for so long with my own limiting voices and limiting beliefs. I actually didn't even realize it was keeping me stuck. What I had noticed was all this negative self-talk. Of course, I noticed that, but I noticed it would show itself by me getting the same types of results over and over and again, like unwanted results. I was thinking, there's something going on here that is going on in the background that I don't quite understand. And for me, this whole thing actually started when I was sitting down with my coach years ago, and I was at a point of just utter frustration, and really I was kind of sitting in those soggy feelings of self-doubt and shame around just feeling like a failure, and I can't seem to push through and get the results that I want. And I remember when I was telling this to him, he just asked me the question, who would you have to be in order to get the results that you want? And I thought he misspoke, because I'm a doer. So I'm like, you mean what would I have to do, right? He said, no, who would you have to be? And that launched me onto a journey and a search of finding this idea of these limiting voices. And this idea of being has so much to do with the limiting voices and limiting beliefs that are going on in the background that we don't even realize, but are affecting our automatic responses and therefore affecting the results that we're getting.
Mind blowing. You know, I think too, you being with a coach, that's probably what inspired you to then go to a coaching program. Is that right or no?
It's absolutely right. I mean, my life, I mean, if I could say, I almost hesitate to say this, but like after a year of being with that coach, after that kind of search and that journey, I went from barely making it financially to making six figures and building a seven-figure business. I went from a stagnant relationship to like a fun marriage. And then I went from not pursuing a dream that I kind of was pursuing in my mind, but not in reality, to actually beginning to do that thing. And so my life changed so radically that I became obsessed with this kind of transformational work. And I just devoured every book I can find for years and then started coaching clients and watching their lives change. And so it was, yeah, that's what it was for me.
Because somewhere along the line, we have to gain this awareness and raise our level of consciousness.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many times we say to people right now, you know, hear what we're saying. Something has to click, and it clicked for you.
Yeah, it clicked for me in really small ways too. So one example is, I remember I was, because I live in Los Angeles, and part of what I love to do is I love to act, and I'm a filmmaker as well as the singing stuff. You know, I've got a lot of fun things that I like to do. But one thing is I knew I wanted to act, and I knew part of acting, I needed to have a good reel so I can, you know, a reel, a lot of footage so I can get an agent. And so I knew that if I could just create something really great, I would have a reel. But in my mind, I was like, nobody wants to work with me. I don't have money to do this, blah, blah, blah. It would be too expensive, all that stuff. And so one thing my coach said to me at the time was, I was like, oh, I'm really tenacious. And he's like, you're tenacious up to the point of making requests of others, right? And that hit me like a ton of bricks. And I realized this small shift. So I said, okay, one way of being that I'm going to change for me and this limiting voice that I'm going to switch for me is, instead of believing that nobody wants to help me or, you know, nobody wants to work on a project that I wrote, I chose to believe, okay, what if I believed everybody wants to be a part of this vision and part of something bigger that's actually going to happen? So then I started making requests of people, which I never did. And then fast forward 6 months later, I was on set in downtown LA in a warehouse with 35 volunteers that I'd recruited shooting this film that actually, as I speak, two weeks ago, I did the red carpet for this event and did the talk back and all that stuff. So it was one small little shift, one small little limiting voice of a shift made such a radical difference. And so all these tiny little shifts make radical difference over time.
Because you made the decision to design your own life.
That's exactly right.
And you know what? I'm doing that right now, because you'll probably find it pretty interesting to know, since you're in film, that I decided to take this tour. I decided to reach out to an assistant slash social marketer. And then envisioning everything we were going to be doing, I decided that I needed to bring a cinematographer with me. She's from LA, and we're going to be shooting a documentary while we're on the road.
I love that. That's such a brilliant idea.
But the thing is, it's about saying, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to believe it to be true because I'm doing it. So it is true.
It's crazy to me that that is true. Like, I know it to be true, but it's still crazy to me that it's true. I remember when I was getting ready to graduate from, you know, from my grad school, and I thought I want to go to Europe. And so I didn't have really the funding, or I didn't have any connections, anything like that. But I just started telling people, hey, in 6 weeks, I'm going to be going to Europe. I'm going to go to Italy and I'm going to go to France. I just started telling people. I had no plan. And as I started telling people, people were like, hey, have you talked to so-and-so? He's going to be there. Oh, you know, if you use your EDU address, you can get 50% off your plane. It was just like all this stuff. And then it just happened. It just happened. It was like it created it out of thin air with my words and with my intention.
Exactly. Because what you put out to the universe comes back to you, right?
It's so true. And it still seems crazy to me, like I said, but it's just true.
I'm not getting one hotel room the entire time we're away.
Really? Where are you sleeping?
We are couch surfing the USA. We are staying with family and friends, and there is a couple bed and breakfasts that are hosting us. I still have a couple states. Now, we're going to Pennsylvania. We're staying in two different places in Pennsylvania when we go. So when we, that's on our way west. When we go north from Florida back up, I'm thinking about meeting my husband, my daughter, and her boyfriend in Philly. So we may get a couple rooms just for that one night, just because there's so many of us and it would be fun to do anyway. But we'll have already stayed in two different places in Pennsylvania anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're staying with family and friends, and we're being hosted by a couple bed and breakfasts.
Honestly, I think that's going to be so much more fun for you. I used to tour. I used to do music. You know, I started the singing lesson program, but before that, I toured. I was a singer, songwriter, guitar player, and we would go on tours, and same thing. We would literally meet people at the venue, and we'd stay with them, and it became such an adventure and so much more social than being isolated in just like a stuffy old hotel room. So I think I'm thrilled. I think that's going to be a blast for you.
So what kind of hesitations or challenges have you had helping other people with their limiting beliefs or making the decision to start coaching like that?
Yeah. I mean, two things. Let me talk a little bit about my singing program and some of the hesitation and obstacles with that. And then so some outer limitations and then some inner ones. The first one with coaching and creating this vocal coaching program was the same thing that with my vocal coaching program. I'm like, who am I? I don't know enough about singing. I'm no expert with this. I'm going to be laughed off the internet. People are going to see what a fraud that I am. And it's just going to be a big joke. And so then the same thing when I started coaching people, it was the same thing. I'm a fraud. I don't know enough. These people are going to see that I'm whatever. And so it was that same kind of, I don't have what it takes kind of limiting voice. So that was a big part of it, the internal battle. But even with the singing program and creating that singing program, there were major failures. Like when we first created the program, we created it. It took about 2 years for me and my business partners to create it. We launched it and it was called the Singing Guide back then. And it was a complete failure. We literally didn't reach a single person. And so we kind of revamped, and my limiting voices were going insane at that point. Like, I told you it wasn't going to work. Just give it up. I told you you're a fraud, all this kind of stuff. But I remember checking in with myself and with my values and saying, what am I committed to? What is it? Why did I create this thing in the first place? And locking onto, well, I want people to reach their dreams. I want everybody to, if they want to be a singer, to learn how to sing and help them live a fuller, freer life. And so that's what kind of got me back on, you know, getting connected to my values, got me back into action of, okay, I'm going to do this thing. And so it took another year, rebranded, refilmed, restudied and launched that. And then that was the Superior Singing Guide, which kind of blew up.
Wow. And, you know, we're doing a Motivate Me TV channel for what, when we're on the road, because I'm going to be doing something I've never done before in each state. So if you have any advice for me on the YouTube front, I am open to any advice you might have down the road for me. But I think that's great. And I think, you know, that imposter syndrome, we all think, and I don't use the word all lightly, I think the only people who don't feel like frauds sometimes in their careers, especially, or maybe in their, maybe in relationships, but it feels like it's mostly in careers that you would feel like a fraud. The people who don't feel like that are probably the ones who are.
That is so funny. Because I know that is like a universal thought. I've never thought that before.
This is an original thought you just gave me.
I love it. I love it.
What do you think, though, that you've learned about yourself through this whole trek?
Yeah, what I've learned about myself is that I, and you said it earlier, is that I create my reality with what I believe about myself. And the thing is, and actually one of the chapters of my book is called It's All Made Up Anyway, is that it's all made up anyway. So all these limiting voices we have and all these belief systems we have that we're living our life on, they're just made up. And so when I started making up other things that were just as true or more true, and I started rehearsing those things and choosing to believe those and acting as if those things were true, I started creating a different life. I didn't realize, it's not easy, but I didn't realize it was so much easier than I was making it.
I am over here nodding. Yes, yes. It's because our thoughts are everything. And so we're believing what we are telling ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and there really is no reality, and we take everything too seriously.
Yeah.
Because we're just here to learn lessons, all of us, and that's what makes us connected to everybody else. I talk about this actually in last Friday's episode, very similar. Okay, so do you have a book or a resource of some kind if people are saying, okay, I want to get all of these limiting beliefs, gather them up, and get rid of as many of them as I can, or at least tame them for now? Do you have a resource you could recommend?
I do. And forgive me if this sounds pitchy, but the reason I wrote my book is because there was a lack of resources. I read so much, and there was a lack of resources on this very specifically and how to turn down these limiting voices, which is why I wrote The Voice of Your Dreams. But two that have impacted me are, one is called the Three Laws of Performance. That's a really great one that gets around this idea. And actually, what you just said about the idea of taking yourself too seriously, there's a quote from that book that I love. It says, in life and dreams, play the game passionately, intensely, and fearlessly, but don't make it significant. It's all a game. So I love that. So that book, and then there's another one called Leadership and Self-Deception.
Well, and I know your book is Turn Down the Voices of Limitation and Turn Up the Volume of Success is the tagline for your book. So yeah. I mean, I would hope you would say, hey, people, I wrote this for this reason. So here it is. Go check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wayne Dyer, I can never get this image out of my mind when he was always about the fact that your thoughts are everything. Your fears are everything that you're telling yourself that you believe. All these ideas that we just said. But the image that I always get is when he said that we are all just chess players. We're just being moved around. And our job is to teach each other things, lessons, and have these experiences from each other, but that there's obviously a higher power moving us around. And and they're finding it funny, is what I remember him saying. Like that it's, you know, don't take it so seriously is how I took it. And I guess his sister-in-law had a near-death experience, and she used to be very difficult, like just very strict and very hard-nosed. And she would be kind of, from what I remember of the story, kind of one of the people just getting everybody riled up. And then all of a sudden, after this experience that she had, the family would, you know, get into their whatevers. And she would just kind of sit off to the side and not get riled by it anymore. And it was just because she, and I wish I could remember the exact words that he used, but that she knew the bigger picture. And this was all so small.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I want to wake up with that perspective every day of my life, of like the big picture and like, what 10 years from now, is this going to matter? Like, absolutely not. So I want to get in that mindset now.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things, because I started recording on my phone, like just recording myself or before the trip, in case we want to use any of it for the documentary, which my crew is doing the same. And we've never met. Like, I've never met these other two women. We represent three decades, the 20s, 30s, and 40s. One is single, one's in a relationship, I'm married. So we started filming ourselves now in case we want that type of footage. And I was thinking about all of this today in the footage that I recorded. And not to take it all so seriously, and that when I get out there, I really hope, because one of the other girls, my assistant, has gone through a coaching program also. And I really hope that we can experience this 3-month period without judgment. I really want to try to not judge, truly not judge, to truly stay positive, and to put all of these principles that you and I are very familiar with into action on camera, on the road. And to tell you the truth, I mean, Aaron, I'm a Jersey girl, okay? So it could be challenging. You know, I mean, they might get some Jersey salute on camera while I'm driving. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
But I really want to put this into action. I really want it to be me. And I've been working on it. I saw something the other day. It was a meme or a quote from somebody online. And I shared it with my daughter because she was having a really negative day. She wasn't feeling well and all of that. And I texted it to her, and it was a video. It was a video, and there's this guy, his name is Sean something, and he's out there, and he's in a wheelchair, and he is putting videos out about positivity. And she was having a really negative day, so I thought this would cheer her up. And one thing that I love that he said in there, and excuse my language, everybody, but it's so true, is he says, I wasn't born this positive. I've already traveled through depression. And you know what? That sucks. He says, I'm positive because I work hard for that shit. And I thought, yes, yes, that is so true. It is all about working hard and making the decision, just like you're saying, Aaron, about your thoughts, making that decision to look at life this way and to handle life this way. So I'm going to try to do that on the road, but we'll see. I mean, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a great declaration, a great commitment for you and for yourself and for what you want for that. I think that's great. And to your point of also what you're saying is in one of the chapters of my book, I talk about it's optimism and pessimism, but it's from a slightly different angle. Just the idea that when people, we take all these personality tests or these labels for ourselves of like, he's an optimist or he's a pessimist or that's just the way he is or that kind of thing, is that building in this positivity or building in this this optimism or building in this way of thinking, it's not I am this or I am that. It, like you said, it's something you build in. It becomes habitual. So I remember my wife, you know, and I do this work all the time. And I remember I asked my wife, I said, because I was writing my book and writing this chapter, and I said, sweetheart, would you say that I'm an optimist or a pessimist? She did not skip a beat. She said, a pessimist.
And so, and your wife is from where?
She's from Jersey.
Where is she from in New Jersey, by the way?
She's from Westfield, like northern New Jersey, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess my point of this was I wasn't devastated by that, because I understand that it's just a habit. That what she was saying is the habit that I've been rehearsing over the course of the past, whatever, a couple weeks before that, was a pessimistic habit. And I can get into a different habit, but it just takes some practice and it takes some doing to get in the habit of a more optimistic mindset. And we all have the power to create that.
During this conversation with my daughter, I said, you know, I genuinely just do see the positive side of things. And it's to the point, it's such a habit for me now, Aaron, that I'm not really sure if this is something that I was focusing on over the last year and a half, or if I've always been that way. That's how much of a habit this has come for me. Now, I do know that when it comes to other people, sometimes I was always very quick to see what they didn't do right, whether it was my mother, how she could have handled the situation with my husband or something like that better, or the friends, same thing, you know, nitpicking things about how people went about what they did instead of now, seriously, my thing now is do your thing. Do your thing. If that's what you need to do and that's the way you need to go about it, do your thing. And I seriously, I'm probably about 90% not taking those types of things personally, where I was 110% taking it personally before.
Yeah. And how much happier are you now?
Oh my gosh. So I feel so much wiser. That's really the word. I just feel like I've gained this knowledge. That's just, my life is happier because of it.
Yeah. You reprogrammed your brain and it's possible, and you did it and you experienced the result of it. It's beautiful.
And then you don't even know that you, I really have to think hard to say, how did I used to think about this? And then I thought, don't think about that, because you don't want that to be your other habit. These are all the thoughts. I literally had all these thoughts we're talking about in the last today and yesterday.
I love it. I used to be an avid journaler. I've got literally like probably 50 or 60 full journals. And I when I go back and read some of that, I'm like, I not only don't remember saying that, I don't recall ever thinking that. And what a jerk I was.
You know, that's how we grow and change. And it's okay, because all of those thoughts and experiences and all the people we used to be. And when I say people, we change over time periodically, right? Every 7 years or more. And so all of those personalities and all of those thoughts and beliefs and experiences we had because of it shaped us to be who we are now. And I know that thinking about back to when I would nitpick and be more negative, I know how those relationships ended up being because of that. And I don't want that anymore. I want to make sure I avoid that.
Yeah.
So it's good that you thought all that, because now you wouldn't be as fabulous as you are.
Exactly.
Okay. So I believe to get people to act, and I do call this the Motivate Me Express to Success, although I am not very good at sticking to the 60-second responses like I try to do. But I believe you need to envision something for yourself. You need to explore it, and then you execute a plan. So we are talking about limiting our limiting beliefs, trying to get rid of them. So if I was to envision myself and my life without the control of these limiting beliefs, what should I kind of see myself settling into? What would my world be like?
Yeah, that's great. It's the envision for me is how do I picture my life being? What is it? Can I get crystal clear about what it is that I want with my life? I think that's the first part of envisioning, because when we do that, it naturally, I think, oh, here's what I want for my life. And then all of a sudden the limiting voices come in. So this is the envision part of, this is what I want, but it's good. We need to get clear about what we want if we're going to move toward there. And that actually leads us, I don't mean to steal your thunder here, but that leads us into the explore part, because the limiting voices are going to flood in our mind. And the explore part for me is, okay, what limiting voices are coming to my mind? What are these persistent complaints that are coming to my mind? And I want to capture those. The research is researching my mind, researching how I think about these things, and really literally capture these thoughts and write them down. Explore what is it that I believe that are causing these automatic responses inside of me? Because if I don't capture them, then they are running me. I'm just living out of these beliefs. But once I capture them, explore what they are, that's when I know what to do with them. And do you mind if I go on to execute?
No, I love it. This is, it flows. That's why it works. That's why I came up with it, because that's what I do. So go for it.
Yeah. So then the execute part to me is beginning to redesign those limiting voices, those limiting beliefs. And again, my book talks about a lot of different ways. One is this idea of getting into action toward that thing you're afraid of. Like, all fear lives in the future. Anytime we feel fearful, it's almost never in the present, unless we're being chased by a lion. We're never fearful in the present. It's always about something that may or may not happen in the future. So when we can get into action, we get over that fear. And the other way to me to execute and limit these and redesign these thoughts is to really ask yourself, okay, is this true? It's just such a simple question. Is it true that I suck? Or is it true that I don't have what it takes? Is it true that I'm a fraud? Or some of the things we've talked about, but whatever yours is. And then ask yourself, what is as true or more true than this? And literally list out things that are as true or more true than that limiting belief, and begin to redesign those thoughts.
And I read that 95% of what we worry about never happens.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so closing advice. What final thoughts do you have for everybody?
My final thoughts are this. Believe in your bigness. There's more in you than you realize. If you understood what your potential and what your capacity was, there's so much more life and there's so much more possibility that you would see. So no matter what limiting voices you have, or if you've redesigned any of these thoughts at this point, just choose to believe one thing, that you are capable of great things and that there's so much more in you than you currently realize. And so just function as if that were true.
I like it. I believe it. I do it. I live by that. And that is great advice. So everybody feel free to go back and listen to that multiple times until your perspective on what Aaron just said changes. Because I don't think if somebody told me that a couple of years ago, I would have understood it to the same degree. So I suggest you go back, listen to that a couple times. You know what, Aaron, how about giving your contact information? And I know people, if they want to sing, they can go check you out on YouTube. But, you know, you sound like a really fabulous coach. I have to tell you that.
Well, thank you so much, Lynette. How to contact me? A couple different ways. If on like Twitter and Insta, it's just my handle is just at Aaron Anastasi. That's kind of hard to spell. So you can also just go to thevoiceofyourdreams.com, and that you can find out about my book, and then you can contact me there. And also, if you do like put in your email address, I will send you a 30% off coupon code to go to Amazon and get the book for cheaper.
Awesome. I want that book. I really cool. do. I would like to read that.
You know what? I'm going to give it to you for free. How's that?
Yay! I'm doing a whole cheerleader pose right now. So I'm also going to make you a member of our private group, if that's all right with you, which is Please. Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. And people can reach out to you that way too. And you can keep us posted in there on anything that you have going on.
That sounds great to me.
So thank you so much. I'm so glad that we got to have our discussion today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Yeah, that's absolutely my pleasure.
So everybody, it's time for your go-do, and I know Aaron has one ready. So Aaron, what should they go out and do today to get started?
Yes, here's one thing that I've started. One of the chapters of my book, I keep saying that, I feel like I'm plugging it, but it's just, this is the information I want you to have. It's called The Truth About You. And so I have a list on my phone that I call The Truth About You. This is one really powerful way that's been silencing my limiting voices and helping redesign my thoughts. So here's how this thing works. Now, for me, just positive aphorisms, or you know, just something that's generically positive, it doesn't tend to connect with me. I'm great. Everything's awesome. Like that kind of stuff doesn't tend to connect with me at a core, like deep, deep level. But what does is very specific truths. So what I do is I listen to what other people say about me, whether it's clients or people or just anybody that I respect, and anything that they say that's encouraging to me, not, you know, anybody's blowing smoke up my butt or anything like that, but somebody that I trust that wouldn't have any reason to lie to me, I capture that thought, and I capture it that dispels a specific lie. So I'm going to give you two examples. So one person who I really respect, he just said offhandedly, sometimes he's a really strong leader, he said, "You systematically create success around you and inspire the same in others." So instead of just letting that encourage me in the moment, I captured it, I wrote it down, and I review it literally every single morning, because it's the truth about me, and it's more true than my other thoughts of like, you suck, you're going to fail, this, you know, those kind of thoughts that tend to wake me up in the morning. And so another example is if I have a specific lie, like I'm not a good enough actor to be successful in the industry, one of my acting coaches and also a famous actor said, "I consider you a professional actor. You have a very natural quality to your acting." So you can see these truth about you lists is very specific truths that counter very specific limiting voices and lies that you believe. And they tend to have a much more powerful chance of redesigning those thoughts and beliefs when we live into those. So I rehearse these every single day. And then in my subconscious, it begins to redesign this. My being begins to show up differently, and therefore my results change.
Too often we focus on the negative. Too often you could get 50 compliments, and the one person out of 50 who makes an offhanded comment is the one you remember. So write them down. when you get them. And I believe, Aaron, I just gave you a nice compliment and it's going to be recorded. So feel free to write it down later.
I am going to put it on my Truth About You list.
Okay, that is great advice. And everybody, I hope that you do that. And I could use some of that too. So feel free to email me if there's something nice you want to tell me. I'd love to hear it. Lynette@motivatemepodcast.com. That's the end of the show. Remember, you do motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.